take your Bibles this morning and open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, today is Father's Day. Let's have all the fathers stand, if they would. All the fathers. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, you women, look around and see just how lucky you really are. Now, we don't have, you know, we gave the ladies some flowers. We don't have any flowers. So, fathers, instead of giving you flowers, I'm going to give you a hard time. You may be seated. I'm sure you'll understand. All right. Now, don't think just because it's Father's Day, you can go to sleep. I'll find everybody in Father's Day message. I'll find a wife, prospective fathers, those that are looking forward to the day when they can be a father, and those that know fathers, and those that have met a father, and those that have a father. You'll all be here in the message somewhere. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin to read in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. See, I told you we'd get everybody for us done. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. That's the only reason you need. That'll be the only motive you need. It's right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the message today. Now, Father, we thank you today for the fact that you are our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that we have such a good example to look to when we look to thee. We're thankful, Father, that when we want to see a good example of what a father can be, we have no farther to look than you, and what a wonderful father you are. Lord, you found us one day when we had no father but the devil himself. Lord, you threw your loving arms around us and became our father for time and eternity. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and dying for us and for giving your son for us that we might have salvation. We thank you for this day that you've given us to meet together. Lord, I pray that today that the Holy Spirit of God would take control of this service and this message just now. And I pray the Holy Spirit would bear witness to what I'm going to say is to be the truth according to the Word of God. Lord, do what I cannot do. Reach forth with this Word and put it in the hearts of these people that are here today. Take this sharp two-edged sword and cut those that need to be cut. Rebuke those that need to be rebuked. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. Reprove those that need to be reproved. Uplift and help those that need instruction today. And I pray that, Lord, you'd bless every word that said. Guide the words of my mouth in a perfect way, that you'd have me to say only what you'd want me to say. And Lord, there be anything that's displeasing in thy sight, may it never come forth from these lips today. May, Lord, if there's one lost person here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, may today be their day of salvation. May today be the day when they trust you as their Savior. They make you their Father, and Lord, believe on you today. Bless the words of this message. Speak to the heart of thy people. We pray that you'd meet every need of every person here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Now, today, when I get done with this message, you're going to think, some of you are going to think that I am very old-fashioned. And you're right, I am. When I get finished with this message, some of you are going to think I'm very dogmatic. Write it down and mark it, because I am. When I get finished with this message, some of you are going to think I'm very peculiar. You don't know the half, write it down, because I am. When I get finished with this message, some of you are going to think I'm very narrow-minded. Write it down, because it's the truth, and I am. I'm just narrow-minded enough that when I see something that will work, I want to stay with it until I find something that is better. Amen? Now, America is the greatest country to find something that works and then do away with it and put something in its place. The American people are some of the dumbest people on the face of this earth. They find an old car that they make it out of heavy metal, and the body will last 30 or 40 years. So what do? Destroy it and get one that's guaranteed to rust out. It used to be in 36 months, but now it's in 48 months. Amen? As soon as the payments run out, it rusts out. Did you ever know that? I mean, as soon as you own it, then it falls apart. The whole thing falls apart. American people are dumb people. They find something that works, instead of staying with it, they turn their back on it and find something that doesn't work. America was founded on biblical principles, and that made America the greatest nation on the face of this earth. Now, what did America do? Turn their back on the foundation and the making of this nation, and America is no longer a great nation because it has chained and turned its back on what made it great. Now, this morning I want to bring a message on what makes a good father and a good husband. I'm sure it'll all be in there somewhere along the line. But this morning I want to bring a message on what the Bible says about some things that make for a good father. Now, some of you need to pay attention. If you're not a father, you a man, you hope to be married and be a father, you're going to need some good advice on how to be a good father. And the best advice anybody ever got was from the pages of this book right here. The Bible has the blueprint and the design for everything that's good in this world. If there's anything that's good, the Bible will tell you how to do it and the right way to do it. If there's a right way to do something, the Bible will know how to do it. If there's a best way to do it, the Bible will know how to do it. If there's a way that is best beyond anything else, this book is going to have the way for it. Now, if you're a father, I'll tell you, if you have any kind of a making up of you and any character at all, you want to be a good father. And if you're a father that isn't a good father and a sorry father, I hope you're a better father before you leave this building this morning. If you're a father that shirked your responsibility and set a poor example in your home, I hope that when this message is over, you'll determine by the grace of God to do better and to be better than you've ever been before. We need good mothers, but I'll tell you something else we need. We need some good fathers in America. We need some old-time fathers who have some old-fashioned ideas founded and based upon the Word of God, who will have a home that is founded and based upon what this book says and what it alone says. The trouble with too many fathers, they've had their nose in too many books besides this book, and they don't know what it is to be a good father. They know what Field and Stream says. They know what the hunting magazines say. They know what the latest TV guide is able to tell you. They can turn to the back of the TV guide and work the crossword puzzle, but they couldn't give you five verses of Scripture on what a good father ought to be and what the Bible said. Amen and amen. You're welcome. Thank you. The offering's already been taken. Doesn't have nothing to do with the message, but I thought I'd just give you a little moment for meditation while you're waiting. Now, the Bible says what's a good father, and this morning I'd like to say some things that make a good father. Number one, if you're going to be a good father, you're going to be the head of your house. Let's try it again. I said, if you're going to be a good father, you're going to be the head of your house. Amen? Now, you that are henpecked, if you can't speak up, have your wife give you an elbow and tell you you're supposed to say amen when that's said. Now, you're going to find out right now, I don't believe in women's lib. I believe in women's lip, but not women's lib. Amen? I don't believe in ERA and all the rights of people. I believe in the Bible and what God has said. I believe that a way that has been tested and proved and works is the right way, and God's way is always the right way. The Bible said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. As a husband and as a father, it is your job to be the head of the house. It isn't your wife's job to run the house. It isn't your children's job to run your house. It isn't your grandfather's job to run your house. If you're the husband and you're the father, it is your duty, it is your responsibility, it is your biblically principle clearly set forth in the Bible. You are to be the head of the house. Now, if you're not the head, pray God will make you the head. If you haven't been the head, pray you'll be the head from this day forth. If you're not the one that leads, pray you will be. Some of you wives, it's mighty hard for you to take. I don't see too many women grinning right now. Amen? I don't see too many of them shouting right now. Why? Got some women that want to be some heads. That's why. We got some women that want to run the house. Now, the man who is the husband, who is the father, and is doing the house and having it run the way God wants it to be run, that man will be the head of that house. The Bible said that he is to be the head as Christ is the head of the church. Now, that puts a real responsibilities on the shoulders of you fathers. And before you get shouting too much and running the aisles about Brother Jim, you know, bolstering your ego and telling you that you are the head of the house, you better know that being with that head comes from real responsibility. That you're to be the head of the house. Now, the Bible just doesn't say you're to be the head. It says you're to be the head as Christ is the head of the church. Your example for leadership in the home is you're to lead your home as Christ leads the church, which is the body of Christ. You're to be the head as he is the head. Now, you walk like he walks, and I guarantee your wife will want to follow you a lot farther. You walk like Jesus walked, and I guarantee you'll have less trouble with your wife wanting to follow you. Now, the trouble with too many guys, they get the wrong idea. Well, yes, sir, I'm the head. Bless God, I'll show you who's the head of this house. I'm the boss here, buddy, and you'll know why. And if I don't, you know, if I'm not the boss, we'll find out soon. I'll knock your head off one thing and another. And want to be a tyrant, want to be a bully, want to be, you know, well, I'm the head, boy. I mean, if you don't like it, leave. And a lot of them done left, amen? And you're going to be sorry. That's not the Bible way. No, sir, the Bible way is not that way. The Bible way says you're to be the head of that house as Christ is the head of the church. You're to set such an example and to be such a man that if that woman loves you, she will enjoy following you. Now you say, I don't believe that. Some of you look a little bleary-eyed. I know you don't. Now, when you get saved, you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you want to follow him because you know he's right. He's clean, he's pure, he lives right, he does things that are right, and you know the way he leads you is going to be right. Now, husband, you want to be a head of your home? That's the kind of head you want to be. You want to be a head that if your wife loves you and you love her, that if you live in a way that is clean and pure and right and in line with the Word of God, and both of you stay on good relationship with God, you won't have to take a stick and knock her in the head and make her follow you. She will want to follow you. Amen? Now, I guarantee you all women don't always want to follow a husband. I guarantee you there's some of you ladies here this morning, maybe one or two, that don't enjoy being in submission to your husband. Some of you don't. I mean, some of you are kind of resentful that he's the head every now and then. Some of you get kind of put out every now and then that he's the head. Some of you get kind of running your mouth just a little bit too much. And you want to be the head instead of him being the head. And sometimes you just got to kind of stop it. You just got to tell her, now shut up, that's it, shut up. Or you say, well, that's not very nice. Well, sometimes the Lord deals with us, and he has to kind of chasten us a little bit. You know what I mean? Sometimes the Lord has to say, now, that's enough. Shut up. Shut up. You run your big mouth, and you'll get yourself more in trouble. And best thing to do, and sometimes the hardest thing for a woman to do, is just shut up. That's the hardest thing sometimes they'll ever have to do. Last word. I preached on that not long ago. They got to have the last word. I mean, the last word is the final word, and they must have that word no matter what it be. And you know, when we deal with the Lord, I find myself doing the same way. The Lord will tell me something. I'll tell him something back. He'll show me something. I'll try to tell him something. He'll say, this says that. And I'll say, yes, but Lord, you don't know. And the best thing you do is like that psalmist said, be still. Just shut up. Just shut up. That's what it says in Hebrew. Shut up. Amen. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Now listen, listen. A house that is run by the woman is a mess. Thank you and you're welcome. And it goes without saying beyond any circumstance God said the head of that house is to be the man, the husband, and the father. And when you try to go against that, you go contrary to the word of God, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. Some of you women want to know why you got trouble in your house. You need to keep your mouth shut and let your husband be the head. Now listen, being the head, it takes two things. A man who has the guts to take the step to be the head, and a woman who has the love for him, who wants him to be the head and will be in submission to him. You cannot be the head over a woman who refuses to have you rule and reign in her life. You cannot be the head over a rebellious woman who doesn't want you to be the head. It's just like a Christian who is backslidden and out of the will of God. They refuse to submit to Christ's will. Christ cannot force them to be under his will, and neither can you force a woman to be in submission to you that doesn't want to be in submission. Now listen, for the man to be the head of the house and to be in line the way God says for it to be, the man must have the courage and the guts to stand up and at times say, I'm the head of the house. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to happen. I am the head of this house. And it takes a woman who'll say, I don't agree, I don't like it, I'm going to go in my room and bite my tongue, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I love him, and even though I don't agree with him, I'm going to think he's right anyway. Amen and amen and amen. You're welcome. It doesn't cost any more. You're welcome. The husband is to be the head of that house. Listen, when you got a two-headed thing, you got a monster. Amen. And some of your homes are not a home, they're monsters. They're monsters. You got two heads. Well, I believe in this equal rights. Well, you're just about as dumb as a lot of people I've met. I believe in this woman has got just as much rights, 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 rights. You have no rights whatsoever. When a Christian gets saved, they surrender all the rights they have to Jesus Christ and him alone. He's the one that has the rights. He's the one that has the power. He's the one that has the opportunity to do it. Now listen, you want to be a good father? I'll tell you, be the head of your house. You say, I don't like it. I told you when I began, you might not like it. You said, I don't agree. I told you when I began, you may not agree. But I'll tell you what, you do it any other way and you have a mess. You can laugh at me. You can make fun of me. Oh, that preacher's so old-fashioned. I mean, them old ideas he's got. I mean, him being the head of the house, him running things, him telling his wife what to do, him making the decision, him being the actual head of that house. Well, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. I'll meet you in divorce court in about 10 years. We'll see how loud you laugh. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. Listen, over and over again in life, you'll learn that it'll never work unless it's done God's way. A good father and a good husband, you know what he's going to be? He's going to be the head of that house. Now, if you're not the head, it's time you found out why. It's time you found out why. If it's just because you haven't been doing right, then you better start doing right. If it's just because your wife kind of refuses to be rebellious, you better sit down and talk with her. You better sit there and talk. Ain't nothing wrong with talking. You sit down there and talk to each other. That's the problem with some of you. Some of you husbands and wives, let me tell you what the problem is. You could sit with me and talk for an hour, but you couldn't sit with your wife for 5 minutes and talk. What's the matter, man? What's the matter? I mean, some of you wives, you could come and counsel with some other Christian lady and for 2 or 3 hours fellowship with her, but you couldn't sit down for 5 minutes with your husband and have a sensible conversation without getting upset. Now, what's wrong? Something wrong, amen. You ought to be able to sit down and talk, husband and wife. You ought to be able to talk about any situation that comes up. You ought to be able to talk about the problems. You ought to discuss those problems. You ought to say, honey, what do you think? What about this? What about that? Well, that's a nice idea, but here's what I'm going to do. And you ought to sit down and talk it over with her. Now listen, and you got the right kind of wife, I'll tell you how to go. Well, that's what I think is what it is. And she says, well, I don't know. Most time they don't know. And she said, I just don't know. She said, whatever you do, it'll be all right. Now, women say, well, I'm going to be the head. Well, then that makes you all the responsibility. Sometimes I don't like all that responsibility. Sometimes I don't like all those decisions. I mean, you got to make them all. I mean, the kids go over here, well, honey, you know, sometimes they use it to their advantage. Whatever you think will be all right, you know. I mean, a real tough one comes up, they don't want to even get in it. They don't even want to converse or talk about it. They just want you to go ahead and do what you think is right. Listen, Bible said if you're going to be the kind of father and the kind of husband that you ought to be, you'll be the head of the house. Now, I'm speaking seriously and with all the love that I can. If you're not the head, there's something wrong. You don't have a biblical house. You don't have a house based on the Bible. Didn't you read that in the Bible? Say amen. I seen all of you read it, or at least I thought you did. And if you didn't, I read it where you could hear it. The Bible said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If you're going to be a good husband and a good father, you'll be the head of the house. And not only that, if you're going to be a good husband and a good father, you ought to love your wife. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 25. There's certain admonition that's given to a husband every time. Every time the Lord speaks to the woman, he says, wives, submit. Wives, submit. Every time he speaks to the husband, it's one other word. Husbands, love. Husbands, love. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ. Now notice that admonition again. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, the Bible says that the husband is to love his wife. If you're going to be a good husband, and you're going to be the kind of husband and father that God wants you to be, you will love your wife. Now, let me tell you, and I'm going to speak to you just for a minute, and you young people, sit up and listen up and wake up and shut up for just 1 minute and listen to what I'm going to say. When you get married, you better get married because you love the person that you're marrying. You say, Brother Jim, this happened, that happened. I don't care what happened. If you're not in love with the person you're marrying, I don't mean some kind of a fleshy attraction. That flesh is going to wear out after a while. You get tired of yourself. You know somebody else will get tired of you pretty soon, amen? I mean, you get put out with yourself. It won't take somebody else long to get put out with you either. I don't mean some kind of a fleshy, lustful love that this world talks about, but I mean a real love for an individual, loving them for what they are and them loving you for what you are. And when you get married, it better be the only motive inside of your heart is because you love that person that you get married to. Now you say, I don't believe it. I'll see you later. Come weep a bucket of tears. You say, I don't believe it, then you're very ignorant, know very little about life. When people come and sit in front of me, I have two questions I ask them. Number one, are you saved? Are you born again? If neither one of them saved, I don't want to mess with them. Well, you say, that's kind of mean. I don't care if it's mean or what. They don't love God no more than to come to church just when they want to get married. I don't have time for them. Go get a justice of the peace. That's what they're for. Amen. Go get a lost preacher. There's plenty of them. Get you one of them. Amen. When they come to me, if they're not saved, they don't think no more of God than just to use him when they get married and use him when they get buried. They don't think any more of God than that. Then I don't think very much of them either. They don't love God any more than that. Now, of course, I love to counsel with them because I'm going to put salvation on them. Amen. I mean, well, you marry us, well, you say, no, first thing I need to do is I need to counsel and talk with you. Then I like to witness to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, both of them get saved, that'd be a different story. I led a couple of the Lord before I married them. They got saved 1 week, married 1 week, baptized next week, is really good, and joined the church the following week. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Next question is, I'll look them right in the eyes. I'll say, now listen, fella, you love her? I mean, just three of us sitting there, God and the devil. Of course, they're around too. But I said, you love her? I said, look at her. I said, do you love her? And I'll say, her. I said, you love her? You really love her? Now, if I've known the people for a good while, I don't have to counsel with them, talk to them long. You know, I can see the sparkle in their eyes and watch them for a few months and see cloud nine they're floating on, all those things that happen, and see evidences of love that's in their life. But if I don't know them, I'll ask them. Now listen, you better listen to what I'm saying. You young people, you better listen to what I'm saying. You better listen to what I'm telling you right now. And if they don't know that they love each other beyond any shadow of a doubt, they better cut it off. You better quit. All you want's a few nights of sin and lust and flesh, you better quit. Don't mess up your life and mess up somebody else's life. Brother, when you get married, best thing to do is for both of you to be saved and know God, pray about it for a period of time, and make sure that you love that person. Not the body, the person. Not that flesh that you see looking in front of you. That person. I tell you what, you husbands, you ought to love your wives. Now, the wives have trouble with submission. The husbands have trouble with love. We don't show our love. We don't tell them that we love them. They don't see the love expressed toward them that we ought to show them. Now you can say amen. Every bit of it's the truth. If you don't say amen, I'll say amen for you. Amen. Now, the Bible said we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. You know what I find when I read the Bible? Lord telling me He loves me. Man, I'm in the Gospels. He says, I love you. I get in John. He says, He loves me. I get in Acts. He says, He loves me. I get in Romans. I find out here in His love. I tell you, I get over in Corinthians in those books and He's loved me. And I get over in Revelation now unto Him that loved us and washed us, see. I mean, you cannot open the pages of this book without seeing that this book is God's love song to mankind. You know how I know God loves me? He tells me over and over again. Every day in my life, He shows me. Bible said, just don't love in word, love in deed and truth. Don't just tell them that you love them, show them. Now, Christ loves me. His love is strong. His love is pure. His love is unselfish. And His love is telling. Now, husband, you love your wife? Is your love strong for them? The Bible said we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. A husband ought to love his wife enough to die for it. I hope the time ever come that every one of us husbands would have that much love in our hearts. I tell you, I know one thing right now. I'd rather die than to see my wife die. I'd rather be tortured to death than to see her tortured to death. And if you don't feel that way about your wife, buddy, you better get things checked up. You got something wrong. I love my wife. I think my wife is the prettiest woman on the face of this earth. Now you say, I don't think that. I knew something wrong. I knew something wrong. Now she's pretty, my wife. Don't get looking at her too much, all right? Now, you men ought to feel the same way. You say, well, she's now about 60 years old, and I married her. She's a blushing bride of 18. Listen. So I told you about love. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You better love her for what she is. Love just not that. More to it than that. She's beautiful. Yes. My wife, well, she got an added blessing. She even looks good. Amen. I mean, she is good looking besides being beautiful. Amen. And some of you, well, you were blessed and some were not blessed. Amen. I mean, just depends on who you are. But you better have more than that. It's strong. God's love is pure. God's love is clean. God's love is giving. You love your wife? Some of you have. You show that you love her? Man, when some of you were dating, you showed it over and over again. Oh, I mean, it was candy and flowers, and that it was little sweet whispers in the ear. And I mean, it was every time you picked her up for a date, boy, shaved, hair combed. I mean, you know, some of that old Spice or Canoe or whatever it was, or British Sterling or whatever it was. Boy, you had it splashed right and left guard. You had the whole thing. I mean, you just showed up. You were as neat as a pin. You were as nice. You opened the door. I mean, man, you just, well, what do you want, honey? Where do you want to go eat, honey? Well, honey, how are you tonight? You look so beautiful, honey. Now, say, I mean, you get up in the morning. Where's my coffee at? Where's the breakfast at? Where's it at? I mean, you come home every night. You've been working hard. You stink like a pig. And you come in there and sit out at the table and act like one. And then you expect her to love you. Amen? You love somebody, you show your love. You get up on Sunday morning instead of saying, well, honey, are you ready, honey? You know, you don't get in the car, you're going to get left, kid. I mean, nobody opening the door. No, you're sitting there gunning it, just, you know, ready to roar, man, ready to roar. And here she is, she's got up and dressed, and she's nice. I mean, she tries to keep up what she did, and she's got the, you know, channel number 5 or whatever it is on and all that kind of stuff. And she's ready to go, and she's got a nice dress on and fixed her hair. And she sits down there, and she waits for you to say something. You're too dumb to say something. About that time, she says, well, honey, how do you think I look? Look all right, look all right, look all right, let's go. I mean, away you go. Now, boy, I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ, He shows His love to me every day. Man, the Lord shows His love. The Lord just doesn't tell me He loves me. The Lord shows His love. You husbands, love is just not opening your mouth and saying it once every month, I love you. It's showing. Just not in word. It's in deed and truth. Real love. Children, that's what He said. Little children. You love your wife? You tell her you love her? You tell her today you love her? Did you tell her yesterday? Did you tell her this week? You told her this month? Huh? Husband, love your wife. A good husband, a good father will love his wife. Not only that, a good husband and a good father will discipline his children. He will discipline his children. Now, the Bible says that in chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor your father and mother. And verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the who? The Lord. That means bring them up the way the Lord told you to bring them up. Now, what did He say about bringing them up? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, you know what that means? That means if you love your children and you're a good father, you will discipline your children. You will train them up in the way that the Lord wants them to go. And you will not spare the rod. But when the time comes for them needing disciplining and punishing, you will pray and ask God to give you wisdom and how to punish them and the right way to punish them. And when you feel it's time for them to get a whipping, you'll lay them over and begin to work on their southernmost hemisphere where God intended for you to work. Now you say, well, that's contrary to American thought today. I told you that before I began. You say, that's contrary to American opinion. American opinion and educational system today is, don't whip the child. Don't suppress his little ego. Don't spank him on his behind. You're liable to injure him at a young age. You're liable to do damage beyond repair if you whip your children. I got news for you. If you don't whip them, you're going to have some damage that God Himself may not be able to repair. You better discipline them. You better whip them. I don't believe in being cruel to them. The Bible said don't provoke them to wrath. The Bible said don't abuse them. I don't believe in child abuse. I don't believe in child cruelty. And I believe if people abuse children and are cruel to them, I believe they ought to be locked up in jail. But now listen, whipping children is not being cruel to them. Taking a belt, taking a rod, taking a switch, and whipping that child is not being cruel to them. Every time you whip them, you show you love them. Amen. I remember my dad. He used to say, now, son, this hurts me more than it does you. And I said, my foot. Amen. Not out loud, because I like my teeth where they were. You understand? I mean, I like all of them in place where they're at. I had what old Brother Wright said, a patriotic father. You know, he laid on the stripes and I saw the stars. Amen. Red, white, and blue. You know what I mean? I mean, just through and through. I had one that disciplined. I had one that whipped. And listen, if you love your children and you're a good father, you're going to discipline them and you're going to whip them. Listen, I'm so sick of this stuff today about the year of the child. I'm going to declare a year of the parent, amen? I want to declare a year when the parents have their rights and they can speak and do what they want to do. Who ever heard of the year of the child? Who ever heard of such nonsense? Little bumper stickers, only animals are whipped. I tell you, if I could catch them people and run them down, I'd show them who get whipped, amen? I'm like old Bob Herring. He said, I'm making a list of all them people. So as soon as I backslide, I'm coming after every one of them, amen? Listen, a person that does that and has something like that in their car shows their ignorance. They show their ignorance. Now let me tell you something. person doesn't discipline their children, I'll tell you what kind of children they got. Brats. Now that's good old archaic English, amen? I mean, just so simple everybody could understand it. A deep theological term. Brats. Good old English word. Everybody, you can all understand that, can you not? Now I'll tell you what, a parent that doesn't discipline their children does not love their children. A lot of them don't. A lot of them bring them up in this life and they're about treated and cared for like dogs. And the parents themselves act like animals, and that's why they raise their children to act like animals. You ought to discipline them. Now, you don't always have to beat them, but you better do it on a regular basis. Amen? Sometimes you can just sit down and talk to them. Now, all of this is like the Lord, see? That's what He does. He's the head of the church. We're the head of the family. And you know what the Lord does to us sometimes? He just talks to us. I mean, He'll set you here in church, see, right here. Nice air-conditioned auditorium. Lights are nice. Pews are comfortable. So if you're going to fall asleep, you can take a nap almost unnoticed by people around you. And the Lord said, all right, now here it comes. Now here it comes. He said, here comes your rebuke right now. Here comes your whipping right now. Here it is. Here's the word. Here it is. This preacher going to tell you where you're wrong. He's going to rebuke you. He's going to reprove you. You got your chance. Get right. Now you got it. You got it. Do it. Ah, no. Who's that young punk going to tell me? I mean, who's that young preacher going to tell me? I mean, look at that, Jim McGay. I'm old enough to be his dad or his mom. Who's he think he is going to tell me what to do? I'm not going to... Yeah, go on. And you go on and you don't listen to the word. And then the Lord gets the rod. Now, in disciplining your children, I believe the same way. I believe in a biblical way. I believe you set that child down and say, listen here, boy. That's all I got for boys anyway. So I say, listen here, boy. This is wrong. God said it's wrong. You know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. It isn't the right thing to do. Now you messed up. That's one chance. That's your only chance. See, that's all. You get one. You allow one chance and that's it. And say, now, if this thing's wrong, you know, stay in your room something for a while. You know, can't go outside for a few minutes or something. I don't know. Stay in there. Straighten up your room. That'll kill a boy, man. That'll kill him. I mean, that'll strike him through. Amen. Straighten up your room. Straighten it all up. And that's it. That's it. Next time he does it, I sit down and talk to him again. I say, I told you wrong, didn't I? Yes. You know it was wrong when you did it this time, didn't you? Yes. Can't plead no ignorance. You knew exactly what was wrong, didn't you? Now, what do you think I ought to do to you? Well, they don't ever have the same thought that I do. Said, I'm going to whip you. Lay them over the bed, and I whip them. I whip them hard enough to make them remember that I whipped them. I don't want to be cruel to them, and I don't want to be mean to them. And now listen, I got three boys, and by the time they get 6, 7 years old, they're hard knots. You're not just going to take your hand and say, now, don't do that, honey. No, no, no. You know, maybe, you know, you're older a little bit. Yeah, No, you got to talk to them in a language that they understand. Speak in an audible voice, and I speak to them. You say, oh, Brother Jim, that's just cruel. I didn't think you loved your children anyway. You just show what you did. The Bible said to do it, and the Bible said to punish them. Now, if you're a good father, there's something else. You'll set a good example. You'll set a good example. Now, we kind of laid a little foundation here. Got all you men shouting over being the head. Hallelujah. I mean, you're the head of the house. You are the head. Now, you're the head as Christ is the head of the church. Now, with Christ being the head of the church comes the fact that He came into this life and lived a perfect life for you and I. He set a good example, did He not? He taught us how to pray. Taught us how to win souls. Why, He taught us how to teach. He showed us how to preach. He showed us how to eat. He showed us how to live. He showed us how... I mean, everything that you need to do, Jesus Christ set a good example for us. Now, if you're the head of the house as Christ is the head of the church, then that puts a responsibility on your shoulders to set a good example. Amen. You know, a father one time turned to another father and he said, I'm not trying to be, and I know I'm no model dad, but he said, I want to be the kind of a father that when somebody says to my boy, you're just like your dad, I want him to stick his chest out instead of his tongue. Amen. And I thought about that. That's true. I mean, I want my boys to grow up. I want them, somebody to say, you're just like your dad. I want them to stick your chest out. I want them to think it's a compliment. I want to set an example where if my boys think they're like me, that they followed a good example. Now, you know what? They're going to follow what you said. I mean, I'm driving down the road one day, one of them little youngins next to me, and somebody, drivers irritate me. Drivers irritate me. People in cars pull out in front of you. You're going 60, they're doing 30. As long as they can get their rear end out in front of you, that's all they think that counts. I mean, here's their car. They're doing 20. You're doing 60. You slide all over the road. And they look back at you, oh, some crazy man driver. What's the matter? Can't you handle it? Well, I get upset. I say, stupid thing. I said, pull the car over on the side of the road. Park it. Let me by. I said, if you don't know how to drive the thing, then park it. If you're that stupid, just get it out of the road. Well, I hadn't gone down the road about 2 miles. Somebody else parked out, pulled out in front of me like that. My little boy said, stupid, stupid, stupid. Boy, I tell you, the Lord taught me a lesson in a real, you know, and it's just a shame. They always pick up your bad habits instead of your good one. A little boy said one morning on Sunday morning, his dad was reading the paper. He said, son, he said, now you better put them funnies down and get ready for Sunday school. And he said, Dad, are you going to church this morning? He said, no, I'm not going. And he said, I want you to go. The little boy looked at his dad and said, Dad, did you go to Sunday school when you was a little boy? He said, son, I went to Sunday school every Sunday when I was your age. The little boy said, I'll put the paper up and go, but he said, it probably won't do me any good either. You know, you set an example. I don't care much about TV and things, but I saw a commercial one time that I really liked. A commercial showed a dad going out in the woods, sitting underneath a tree, picked up a pack of cigarettes. He lit it and put it in his mouth and laid them down beside him. His little boy is there, and he looked around, and here's a little boy, had that cigarette up, had that thing putting it in his mouth. You set an example. A man one time went to work, and as he went to work every morning, it's always his habit to go by a beer joint, saloon, slop joint, a rat hole, whatever you want to call it. That's where they went. And he would go by there and get a drink, and one morning it snowed, beautiful snow, and he's walking there to the beer joint. And as he did, he heard a voice behind him, said, look, Daddy, look, Daddy. And his dad had made tracks in that new fallen snow. And there was his boy jumping and trying to step every foot where his dad had stepped. And he said, look, Daddy. He said, I'm following right in your tracks. He said, I'm stepping right where you stepped. And that father said, my God, he is stepping just where I'm stepping. And he said, he's walking just where I'm walking. And you know what? That father went home that day. Instead of going to the beer joint, he got on his knees and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said, Lord, if you will direct my steps in a different way and show me the path to walk, I want to walk so that my boy can follow me in the right steps. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little eyes and ears that quickly take in every word you say. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. This wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right and his ears are always open, he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little fella who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. What kind of example are you setting? What kind of example are you setting? And last of all, if you're a good father, I'll tell you something else you're going to be. You'll be a good provider for your family. You'll be a good provider. You know what the Bible said? These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said to be a good father, to be a good husband, you are to provide for your family. And the Bible says if you do not provide, you are worse than an infidel. and you've denied the faith. Now, in provision, there's two things, a physical side and a spiritual side. Now, you should provide physically money, food, clothes, education. Those things are up to the father and the head of the house. I'm old-fashioned. I believe the daddy works and the mom takes care of the children at home. Now, there may be certain circumstances where that can't always be true. And coming through school, sometimes the wife have to work and help you out. I'm not against that. I've talked to too many of you to know. You know me better than that. I'm saying the way I believe is that the man ought to be the provider in the home. He ought to be the one who takes care of the needs. He ought to be the one that provides. And he ought to provide the food. He ought to provide the home, the car, the clothes, the education. He ought to provide. He ought to take care of. Now, we ought to provide for our family physically. We ought to provide for our families spiritually. That's where some of you, as a father, you're a failure. And as a husband, you are a failure. Now, don't look to your wife. Don't look to your wife to be the spiritual guide in your house. Now, a lot of women are. And praise God for them. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of women coming to church every Sunday with a no-gown husband just laying home. Praise the Lord for them. Praise the Lord for their faithfulness. But God intended the man, you, buddy, to be the head of that house. And if you are the head, you set the example, you provide, and if all you provide is material things, you are not a good father. Now, maybe you didn't get that, so I'm going to run it by one more time. If all the provisions you make for your home is a house, a car, food, clothes, education, toys, and things to play with, and you do not provide spiritually for that home, you're not a good father, and you're not a good husband. Now, that's what the Bible said. Don't look at me mad. Your gripe is not with me, it's with God. The Bible said if you don't provide for those in your own house, you're worse than an infidel. You denied the faith. God have pity on a Christian father and a Christian husband that doesn't provide spiritually for his family. It's not the wife's duty to lead the way. No, sir. It's not the wife's duty to see you get to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. No, sir. No, sir. Now, maybe her duty to help you get them youngins ready, but it's your job. Your job to see you roll out in time for Sunday school. Sleeping in till 10:30 and 11 o'clock and rolling in here at church half awake, not getting awake till it's time to eat in the afternoon. That's not her job. That's yours. Don't shirk your responsibility and try to put it on a little woman. Take it yourself. Be a man. Some of you listen. Some of you are good providers. Man, your kids have good clothes, have a nice house to stay in, have a nice car to drive in. They have all the material things they need. They have a good education, but spiritually, you provide nothing. Now listen, you'd be better. Now listen here. You'd be better to provide all those spiritual things and have your family have them, even if you had to give up many of those material things. Listen, your first provision as a father saved and born again is to provide for that family spiritually. And if you don't talk to me about being a good father. Don't talk to me about being a good husband. Well, Brother Jim, I make more money than you do. Big deal. That wouldn't be bragging. I've got more than you do. I provide more. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. How about spiritually? Your kids ever see you read the Bible? Your children ever see you pray? Your children ever see you pass out a tract? Your children ever see you witness somebody about Jesus Christ? Your children ever see you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Your children see you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night? Huh? How about it, Daddy? How about it, Father? How about it, Daddy? How about it? Some of you this morning that are fathers and lost and without the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you're cheating your family out of the biggest necessity they have, and that's a spiritual need. Amen. Don't brag to me about how much education, how much money, and how many cars, and how much clothes, and how well you've taken care of them. If you've neglected the spiritual, in God's sight, you've neglected the most important thing. a good father. He's a good provider. Patrick Henry, when he died, in his will said this: I have now disposed of all my property to my family. One more thing I wish I could give them is the Christian religion. If they have that, and I had not given them one shilling, they would be rich. And if they have not this, and I had given them the wealth of the world, they would be poor. Patrick Henry, he said, if I could give my family and will to them anything, I'd will to them the Christian religion. Of course, what he means is salvation and being saved. He said, if I could will to my children and family anything, I'd will them salvation. And he said, listen, if I could give them all the wealth of this world and didn't provide that salvation for them, they would be poor. A good father. What kind of father are you? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Some of you today know the message has been addressed to fathers and husbands. Some of you not married, but some of you young men, you're looking forward to the day, one day when you will be married. You be a father, you be a husband. Some of you are fathers. Some of you husbands right now. I wonder what kind of father you are. A good father is the head of his house. A good father loves his wife. A good father disciplines his children. A good father sets a good example. And a good father provides for his family. Now, I'm not talking about in the eyes of the world and by worldly standards, but I'm talking about by the standards laid down in the Word of God. What kind of father are you? What kind of father are you? The Lord gave me a good earthly father, and I love him. People say you like him. In many ways, it makes me so glad. And I look back and think that even as an unsaved man, I whipped us as the head of the house. I loved my mother, provided in the best way he knew how until he got saved, and then he knew better how to provide. And I'll tell you, I want to be a good father. I want my boys to grow up. And the Lord doesn't come, I want them to look back in their life. I want them to remember their daddy in a good way. And somebody says to them, you're like your dad. Boy, I want to be able to stick out the chest and be thankful. There's only one way I can do that, and that's to be a good father right now. What kind of father are you? Children are under your feet for just a little while and they're gone. I want to be a good father. And I trust that every father and every husband in this building would have the same desire to be a good one. Some of you never had a good father. Some of you never had a father who would take time with you. Play ball, take you fishing. Some of you never had a father, just every now and then just take the day off and spend it with you, take it. Some of you never had a father that cared for you at all. Now you learn from his example. You don't do what he did. You do what's right. God, give us some good fathers. Father, and I thank you for the greatest example we ever had. The greatest illustration of what a father should be, Lord, when we look at you. We see, Lord, how good an example you've given us. Help us to try to do and live in the way that you've shown us. I pray for every father and every husband in this building this morning. Lord, there's one here that's lost and never been saved. I love him. What I've said may have been strange to their ears. But Lord, help them see that unless they provide for their family spiritually, they've neglected. And help them to see until they're saved, until they know the right way, they can't lead anybody else in it. If they're lost here today, I pray that they'd be saved. I pray that fathers and husbands that are here, that are saved, know what they ought to be doing or not doing it. I pray you'd speak to their heart. I can't do it. I can't bring conviction. I can't speak to their heart. I can't make them want to get right. Take you, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God speak to their heart. Show them what they need to do and help us to do it. Lord, life is just too short. We look at our children one day, just little babies in the crib. Next day, they're running around. Next day, they're looking forward to a driver's license, and then they're gone. Lord, help us to cherish those moments as fathers. Help us to be the kind of fathers that when our boys grow up, they just look back and say, I had a good daddy. I had a good life. Lord, help me to be like my father. God, give us some good fathers. Give us some fathers in this church that love thee and, Lord, want to live for thee. Give us some fathers, Lord, that see that even though now they may not be able to provide physically, help them to make it up, Lord, in spiritual things. Help them to see that if they provide their family spiritually, they've made their family richer than all the money this world could ever make them. Be with them now, speak to the heart. Lord, the women that are here, and the mothers, and the wives. And I said some things that's been strange to a lot of their ears this morning, but help them see it's been the truth. The only way they can see it's the truth is with the Holy Spirit to bear witness to it. And to see it happen in life. Bless the message today. Speak to the hearts of fathers, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number? 253. Lord, I'm coming home. The Lord's spoken to your heart today. Man, woman, child, whoever you are, you're lost and you need to be saved. We want you to come. We want you to be saved. The Lord's spoken to your heart. You're a father. You haven't been providing. You haven't been setting a good example. Not the head. You don't love your wife like you should. You don't discipline your children. The Lord's spoken to your heart about some aspect. Your life as a father that needs to get straightened out. Come, so we sing 253 on the first one. I'm good father. Serious. day I sat in the living room looking at all of my boys, all three of them, and thought, just suddenly struck me, said, you're a father. I was conscious of that before. Now I realized that. You know, it just kind of hit me then. You're a parent. You're a father. And you got some children. You got some lives. You're going to be held responsible for them. You know, Chapman said one time he was in New York at Tiffany's, a famous jewelry place. He said he'd seen jewels in there worth, at that time, $25,000 and $30,000, be $100,000.